Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I was salty this morning when I got into my car. I noticed a big-ass crack in my window about the size of a baby snake.
Ooh.
And it starts at the bottom left of my windshield and goes, it's starting to creep up to the middle. And it's getting longer every single day.
You're going to have to get that fixed like right away.
Safe Light Repair?
I might have to call them.
No, I think when it's bigger than like...
I mean, it's long. It's probably 10 inches long.
Yeah, I don't think that you can't repair that. You just got to replace.
I'm salty about that. Because yeah. That's going to crack the entire windshield, right?
I think it's bigger than like a half inch or something.
I need an entirely new windshield.
Yes.
It's so bitter.
Now, some weird insurance companies cover it. Mine never have. It's always just like three or four bills.
I always just pay 50.
My deductible's
is always way too high.
Yeah, it's probably 500 or 1,000. I think it's $1,000.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've used Safe Light Repair over there in Gaithersburg twice.
I've used Safe Light Repair before, but it has to be very, very minuscule.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be big. If it's big, you're cooked.
Right.
I mean, mine might not be as big as his. Mine was bigger than minuscule.
Yeah.
I think you'd be surprised at what they can do over there. By the way, it is Open Line Thursday presented by Window Nation. If you're searching for new windows and doors, search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time, installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home because it's where you live. I know we're going to dive into the entertainment page here momentarily, but you got somebody that wanted to fill you in on lightning on the plane and a missed connection.
You know, the other thing, and we'll go to these, the other thing that I got that's bugging me about my car, I noticed this about 3 or 4 days ago, is a lot of the new cars now underneath. They have, like, plastic to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've caught myself. I've probably done it a half dozen times where they have those, like, the cement blocks in a parking spot. And sometimes I go, I guess, over it.
Right.
And it scraped the plastic underneath. And so it's now ripped part of that plastic underneath. I'm thinking that's probably going to cost me $1,000 or $500 at least.
Is that the Beamer?
Yeah. Right?
Well, especially because it's a Beamer. Everything.
I want to just cut the plastic. It's just plastic protecting whatever's above it.
It's ripped. It's not dragging on the road.
It's dragging a little bit.
Oh, it is. Yeah, you have to get that fixed.
I'm thinking about just cutting it off myself.
Okay.
And I know I did it the other day. I was at the golf course, and I just, I'm trying to park in close, and I go over the cement.
So it's the barrier.
The barrier.
So it's at the front of the car.
Yes. Yeah. God, it's so tilted.
Kind of a donk, though. You're kind of a donk.
I'm just trying to park in nice and snug. It's happened to me a couple times.
You don't have to be that snug.
Yeah. Let's go to Andrew in D.C. Open Live Thursday, your chance to steer the show. Andrew, what's up?
Thanks for taking my call, Junks. I wanted to provide a little update on lightning hitting airplanes.
Yeah.
My grandfather was a pilot in the Navy. He's walked me through this a couple times. My buddy just flew back from Ireland with his girlfriend. They were flying through some thunderstorms. Their flight got hit by lightning, and she's, of course, freaking out, thinking that they're all about to die. And he's like, yeah. My buddy's like, yeah, the plane got hit by lightning. It's no big deal. And it isn't a big deal. You don't have to land the plane immediately. The only concern is frying some of your electrical systems. That's probably why they took your wife's plane out of commission for a minute just to
check everything.
Double check on the electrical work, but it is not a big deal. It actually happens a lot more frequently than you'd think.
Do you know so it when you're a passenger?
Oh yeah, it's a pretty loud boom because you are in the thunder.
Right. It's kind of unavoidable when you're flying through it.
Thank you, Andrew.
Correct.
Right. Thank you, buddy. Right, appreciate it. Let's go to Darren in Arlington. Darren, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Junks, what's going on? Tell a story about how I met my fiance. Back in 2012, I went to a Halloween costume party, and I was dressed up as Ted, and taking a bunch of pictures with girls. My fiance was actually dressed as Kim Kardashian. And we made a connection. We didn't really think anything about it. And then in 2014, I got on Tinder. And I was using Tinder for, you know,
to hook up.
Reasons why you would get on Tinder.
Right.
And I saw my fiance, and I was like, wow. Swipe right. We connected, and then she was going through my Instagram, and she was like, oh, my God, were you at that party? Was that you in the Ted costume? And I was like, yeah. And ever since then, you know, we've been together, getting married on September 22nd this year.
Oh,
wow.
Congratulations.
How successful were you on Twitter before you met your future wife?
So I was successful on Twitter, on Tinder, just once. But, I mean, I made the best of it.
Good for you. Good for you. That's one more than Adam. Nice job. Nice job, Darren. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right.
Can't remember the name of the book title. It's one of the few books I've read in the last decade. But Malcolm Gladwell, who has a couple of famous books, Tipping Point. One of his books was about first impressions. Blink. Blink's the name of the book. And one of the chapters is all about that they figured out how they could predict the success rate of a marriage, and it was all based on how a couple told the story of how they first met.
Mm-hmm.
Those last two stories were kind of cool. Based on Blink, that psychiatrist would predict that they're going to have a successful marriage, just like that. And they found like a ridiculous success rate. There was also a chapter in the book, I can't remember, that famous tennis coach who could predict double faults. It wasn't even logical. It was almost like a gut feel. And had a ridiculous success rate of predicting double
faults.
How
could he predict double faults?
Again, the story's about trusting your gut.
Yeah, but why?
Your blink. I can't remember. It's been years since I read the book. But with the I always remember when it came to marriages, it was like fascinating. Like they started out with like a psychiatrist who would bring in couples and he would just observe them talk. Hundreds of couples. He would just observe them talk to each other and he'd predict whether they'd be together 10 years from now. And then eventually stripped it all the way down to just tell me how you first met. And then when they would leave, he'd say, all right, if they smiled and looked at each other and laughed, they're probably going to have a successful marriage. And if they don't really enjoy telling the story of their first meeting, they're cooked.
Probably going to fail.
And it was a ridiculous predictive rate.
That
like
seems
if you
crazy.
Were as, if you were able to predict as well as that psychiatrist on the marriages in sports gambling, you would be a billionaire right now.
Of course.
By the way,
I mean, if I could predict the future,
I sent
it'd be nice.
Valdez a 2+2 posting from James Holzhauer from back in 2000, I think 8 or 9. He did it's like an AMA on Reddit. They used to call it a well on 2+2, which is a poker forum, and he basically was known in the industry as being this sports gambling god. And he did basically an Ask Me Anything on there. And if you're fascinated by him at all. Hit up me or hit up Valdez and we'll send you the link on it. It's pretty interesting to see. I mean, he was dominating sports gambling back in 2007, 2008, and he was known within the community for being that good.
Is he still doing? Is he still that good?
I think he still does it, as far as I know. Yeah.
I guess there's a podcast.
And he says even back in 2008 that his dream is to be a GM of a Major League Baseball franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a podcast called Cracking Aces where I guess they talked about it and looked at his history. And I guess they found out that he used to, at Illinois, skip classes to play online poker. His go-to, apparently, was $11 tournaments on Poker Stars.
Right. A little, yeah.
Or maybe that's the guy who wrote the article.
He also talked about, I think Valdez read through the entire, I only read through maybe the first 4 or 5 pages of it. I think he admitted that he's basically stopped playing poker seriously online, right? Because the games got too tough.
Yeah, he didn't play. Yeah, he stopped playing. I think he had like some cash, and he was messing around on like Poker Stars or one of the sites. And he said that between his losses in baseball and playing on poker, he lost $100,000 in a day.
Wow.
Was it another big takedown for him last night?
It was around his average. He's averaging about $77,000 a day.
Mm.
But yeah, he won, and the two contestants were no match for him.
How many different shows has he won?
Because 27.
Not that many compared to Jennings. Jennings won like 77.
Wasn't it like 25 before the break?
It was something. It's in the 20s.
Tonight he could and probably will break 2 million.
That is incredible.
Right.
How does one guy know everything?
I don't know.
How can you know
There's
everything?
A lot of nerds. Well, Cakes does well on that.
Well, in that Ask Me Anything, since he's basically a professional bettor, he says he works about 10 hours seriously during a week, and he has all this free time.
Right.
And so I think during this free time,
he just reads,
he must studies.
He must retain and absorb everything, make a photographic memory.
Yeah. He's just a freak.
He's a genius.
He is.
Meanwhile, there were pictures, I don't know if you guys saw online, of Alex Trebek like leaving the cancer center. And, the poor guy looks awful. I mean, he looks every bit the 77 years old that I think he is. He's losing his hair, you know, because of the chemo. It's just, man, I feel terrible for that guy.
I saw last night, as I'm flipping through the channels, a commercial. They're bringing back the one with whammies, Press Your Luck. Like, in the summer, they start bringing back these game shows, old game shows.
I don't remember Press Your Luck.
Is there a game show that you would want to come back? Because the one which pops into my mind, which I used to watch a lot of as a kid, was Tic-Tac-Doe.
Mm. Yeah, I used to watch that.
Press Your Luck has whammies. It's like a moving board, and you press the button, and it'll give you a dollar amount. I don't even remember if there's a trivia aspect of the game. I just remember people would go, no whammies, no whammies, and stop!
Right.
And you get some sort
I didn't
of
watch
number.
A lot of that. For some reason, I feel like I watched Chuck Woolery's show. Was it Scrabble? Did he have a show like about Scrabble?
Scrabble was the
game. For some reason, I watched that. Like, if Chuck Woolery was on, it was legit.
I feel like Tic-Tac-Toe was that Wink Martindale.
I think it was, yeah. Is he still with us? Is Wink Martindale still with us?
Doubtful. I mean, I'll look it up.
Yeah, you should look
hey,
it
did
up.
Did any of you watch this documentary on Netflix about some guy who was obsessed with The Price is Right?
No.
You should watch
did
it.
Did he get on?
Well, he's been on probably 35 times. Well, not on the show, but in the stands, in the audience.
And they never pick him?
No, they picked him once. But what he does is he catalogs every single item and then looks up the price. And then he just studies it and retains it. And then every time he was on,
so he's ready.
Yeah, he nails him.
So how did he do when he finally got on?
When he finally got on, he nailed the price of the item,
right?
The recliner that they had at the showcase. And so he won an extra $1,000. Then he played Punch Out, where you punch a board and you pull out a number of dollars.
Yeah.
And then he won $1,000 on that. And that was it.
That basically. Was it? He didn't get to the showcase showdown or whatever?
No, he didn't. Because
of the spinning thing?
But gigantic waste of time. I mean, the guy spent his entire life writing down how much a refrigerator costs.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then you get screwed when you have to spin the wheel.
Yeah, it's just a dumb...
Yeah.
By the way, Wink Martindale alive.
He's still alive.
85.
Is he really? Wow.
But what happened was...
You're right. Waste of time.
Well, he was in the stands with these people who he befriended when signing up and walking in. And so he's sitting next to them. And one of the people who got on, who was sitting next to him, who we met, was in the showcase showdown. And then he gave him apparently the exact right price for the showcase, which has like six different items in it.
Right. You know, JP mentioned...
you should watch it if you're interested.
I might.
Big dork. But.
JP mentioned Tic-Tac-Doe. My youngest will often, when we're at a restaurant, when she's bored, want to play Tic-Tac-Toe. And I always maintain that only morons lose in Tic-Tac-Toe.
Right. Right?
Because you should never lose.
Right.
Like, just play defense, and you should literally never lose.
Right.
And then she...
She put you in a position
she's beat
where
me
she
a couple times
shoot.
Where I actually thought, and I guess I'm wrong, that I could go anywhere, like, as my first starting move. And then she could, and then depending upon where she went, she's gotten me in positions where I literally haven't done anything wrong, and yet I'm going to lose, and she gets me going both ways.
On it because she's got basically you. If you have one on the top right, one on the top left, and one on the bottom left, you only put your X in one spot or your O in one spot, and they're going to finish it off. Yeah, you're making bad moves, EB.
Bad moves, but it's not like I couldn't see it coming.
Well, you should have been able to see it coming. I'm guessing you were distracted when you were
playing. Unbelievable.
800-636-1067 is the number. It is Open Line Thursday here on The Junkies.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's LYST. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. John Shambi, ESPN Major League Baseball play-by-play voice, going to join us coming up at 9:20. But right now, we're going to shift gears, find out what's going on in the entertainment world with EB's Entertainment page, brought to you by our friends at Second Chance Addiction Care, an outpatient drug and alcohol addiction center. It's already helped several Junkies listeners online at secondchancecare.com.
All right, boys. Man, it's amazing to me, but apparently Laura Loughlin's daughter, Olivia Jade, reportedly wants to still return to USC despite the college admission scandal where she got in unfairly.
So she has to reapply?
I don't know.
She's got to get in legit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just say, hypothetically, we got into Harvard illegitimately, but we're in Harvard. It still look good on your resume if you get that degree.
Now, apparently, she didn't officially get kicked out, and she's begging the school to let her back in. I suppose if she has a track record of good grades and she's done well, maybe they could. I don't know. I know when the scandal first hit, they said that anybody who was associated with the scandal would have their accounts like placed on hold, which would prevent them from registering for classes until their case was reviewed. So I guess she's sort of in a hold position, and she's begging them to let her register for classes, which has got to be weird.
She's in good standing as a student, got decent grades.
She got in unfairly.
True, but once you're in, do you boot her out? I don't know. Would you boot her out if you were the chancellor?
Would I boot her out?
Yes.
Based on how she got in? Of course.
Yeah. Or even though she's completed her freshman year or maybe even 2 years.
It was a fraud. She got in as a fraud.
Yeah,
I think you have to kick her out. She can go somewhere else and continue her education.
Now, she can go somewhere else and maybe transfer back in after she finishes another year. Might let her in there.
I don't even know. What's the point? Just let her move on. She can go any other school in the world.
It's got to be a huge distraction, too, on campus. And
well,
everything.
I mean, people are going to resent her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the student body will.
Yeah, I would think. Believe it or not, Kendall Jenner and Ben Simmons are they're still newsworthy, but they've broken up. I didn't even know they were still dating.
I didn't know they dated in the first place. When did that happen?
I think they've been dating for like 6 months or
longer.
I really don't pay attention.
I don't even pay attention.
It's hard to keep track of all the Kardashians and who they're
and
dating.
Jenner's love hoopsters.
Right. Well, Khloe does. Kendall does.
Kim did. Kim was married to Chris Humphries.
Right.
Even if it was just a month, she was married to Chris Humphries.
The other one,
I don't know who else was on her resume.
Who's the one that's married to the rapper? Or she got a kid with Travis Scott?
Kylie.
That's the one that's like a billionaire.
And who was Tyga? Probably the same one.
I think it was Kylie. Yeah, she gets iced.
Kendall likes the hoopsters because she was Jordan Clarkson and now Ben Simmons.
Right, and I think there was another. Was she also sized for, the white guy from, like, the Rockets a couple years ago? Oh, Jesus. I can't remember his name
anymore. Thinking of Ryan Anderson?
No.
The guy Anderson that was on the Rockets?
Or was it Chandler?
Chandler Parsons. Parsons, yeah.
I think she was in him. Am I right, Drabby? I think so.
Or there was some familiar. Sort of.
I know Chloe was James Harden.
Right. They just get sized.
They love the ballers.
Yeah.
That's what they love.
I'll tell you. Nick Wallenda. JP said, I mean, does he have a death wish? I don't know. He and his sister, they're still in the news. They want to plan to cross New York's Times Square. They want to do a 1,300-foot walk, 25 stories above the ground. ABC will air it during a 2-hour primetime special on June 23rd. It will be his sister's first high wire walk since a 2017 accident in Florida that left her and four of the members of their family seriously injured.
But she's coming back for
more.
But
she's coming back. Now, they are saying that they're going to, the walk will be from, start on opposite ends, I guess, of two of Times Square's towers, right? But they're saying there is going to be some unspecified safety devices used. They just won't say what it is. And they're saying it won't eliminate all risk.
I know you have a big-time fear of heights. I remember years ago at my mom's apartment in Puerto Rico, you would come to Puerto Rico with your family. You wouldn't even go out on the balcony.
Why would I?
Which has
a
fence.
What if
right?
the wind blew or something?
So he was like standing by the sliding glass door but wouldn't cross that to the actual balcony to look out to the ocean, the beach, and the, everything out there. Hypothetically, now you're not going to cross Times Square at 25 stories high on a high wire, but let's say there was a pathway.
A bridge.
Like a pedestrian bridge.
Mm-hmm. No. The way you just described it, it'd be like a ski lift or something. Don't get sized.
He's saying if there was a bridge.
How much money would it take? Like it's a
bridge?
It's a bridge. How about this? There's no railings.
Oh, I wouldn't.
But it's 20 feet.
No way.
From side to side. You have 20 feet.
No way.
And at the end of that bridge, there's $10,000.
Oh, are you kidding? No way.
$100,000. You'd have to.
I don't think so.
You think you'd
how many feet? How many feet? How long feet do you have to go?
10 feet to the right, 10 feet to the left. However long he's going.
What kind of a bridge?
1,300 feet.
A concrete bridge.
Like in other words, the bridge is not going to collapse. Yeah, like, it's not an issue of the bridge collapsing.
Of course I would. Of course you would,
but he has a fear of heights. You don't.
Yeah.
But if you saw that cash on the other end,
the only way I could possibly do it.
Oh, by the way, I do have a fear of heights.
I would crawl. So I would be
okay.
I would crawl. It would take me a day, but I would just pull myself.
Why wouldn't you just sprint? You could sprint. You're not. You think you're going to veer off 10 feet?
Because I would be scared that I couldn't control myself, and then I would jump off.
Well, you're going to deal with that
fear. I'm telling you.
You'll deal with that fear longer if you're crawling. If you just sprint.
A buddy of mine is a neurologist, and he said, now he's just, whatever. I just bought into it because he was a neurologist. But he told me that part of my fear was because that I couldn't control my impulse to jump.
Yeah.
And so I've always clung to that for 20-some years.
I don't necessarily buy that.
People think that they can't control their own impulses.
I have a fear of it, but I know I'm not going to jump.
I think you value life a lot more than you fear.
Yeah, but
jumping.
There's something. The guy's hitting on something. I promise you.
That's kind of like that psychology that gamblers really want to lose.
How do you feel when you go over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge?
Don't love it. I just try to look straight ahead. I don't love it. I do it. I try not. I hate it when I'm on the one where the traffic's going both ways.
Right.
And I try to get it to where I'm on the right side so the steering wheel is in the middle. I hate when I'm on the left side and the steering wheel is right next to the edge. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So
you still make it every single time.
No, I know I make it. But when I get to the peak, I get butt-sized when I start going down.
Right.
You should just pull over and have at those stations and just have the cop drive you over.
No, because I can do it. That'd just be a pain in the ass. Take an hour. I do it. I just don't like it. I get in the right lane, and I make sure my steering wheel's in the middle of the road.
I don't love going on the bridge either. But
and when you go to the mall.
You do it every single time.
When I go to the mall,
you're just on the second
floor. I never walk
floor.
Near the railing. I always walk near the stores.
Right.
Yeah. I'll, hug Foot Locker.
Escalators?
Escalators. Some escalators are freaky. Like some where they go up, you're like three stories. Like you look
like
over,
the
and it's like three
escalator?
Stories down. No. The ones where it's over air. I don't get scared on a metro escalator going down 1,000 feet because I don't know. You're not going to fall. You're just going to roll. You know what I mean? It's different. But an escalator like at an old Barnes & Noble or something where it goes in the middle of the store and it's up like three stories and there's just do you know what I'm describing?
A little bit.
Yeah.
You feel like you could tip over to either side.
Yeah, and then it's a three-story fall or a four-story fall. Yeah.
Yeah.
But terrifying. To answer your first question, yes, I would walk across that bridge.
Of course you would.
And I wouldn't crawl. I
didn't know
fast
you had a fear of heights.
I mean, probably not to that level, but I don't love it.
I mean, you'll go out on a balcony.
Yeah, but I don't like to look over it, and I won't lean against the railing.
Like I saw Brooks.
I'm not doing the crazy thing you did, taking your photo, sitting on the railing on that.
Yeah, I would never.
Puerto Rico,
overhyped.
I would never do that.
You definitely did it.
I saw our buddy Brooks. He was, he and his wife Julianne. They go all over the world, mm-hmm. but they were somewhere. They were it was like a Grand Canyon type of spot, and he was on some big rock, and they got a photograph from afar, looking over.
Mm-hmm.
And he's about 3 feet from plunging to his death.
Right.
That's a crazy photo. What is he doing? I mean,
he's confident that he can stand up.
By the way, people die all the time doing that.
Yeah, they just had a girl just died.
They do. Taking selfies at Grand Canyon, they fall.
Yeah, they've had a bunch of falls in the last few weeks, the last few months at Grand Canyon.
Happens all the time.
I mean.
It does happen all the time.
It's
one in a
million. I know why you were laughing, but it happens all the time.
It's one in a million.
There was just a story.
And they're idiots. They're idiots.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
There was just a story of a girl dying. She fell 100 feet. She was doing the same thing. She was taking a photo of herself and boom, died.
Yep.
I don't know if it was Grand Canyon, but it was one of those, you know, kind of nature places, whatever. Let's go real quick. Let's go to Brendan in Ashburn. I'm going to mix it up with some phone calls here. Brendan, what's up, buddy?
It is Open Line Thursday, by the way.
Hey, how's it going, Jockey? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
I just wanted to touch on how come everyone's calling for Davey Martinez to be fired, but no one's calling for Rizzo to be fired, who put together this bullpen. The Mets have scored 37 runs against the Nats bullpen this year. That's 17% of their entire runs for the season against the Nats bullpen.
Yeah, and I don't know. We just had David Sampson on, and we asked him about the way Rizzo put together the bullpen, and he said it's pretty standard. The way Rizzo constructs his bullpen is pretty standard. You don't allocate a ton of your resources there. You just don't.
By the way, Rizzo is getting more and more criticism, so he's not immune from it.
He is, but
I mean, I understand that. I'm just dumbfounded that year after year we always have a terrible bullpen, always have to make trades at the deadline, and then this year we're 11 games under 500.
Well, again, we asked that question.
Games?
Yep.
Brendan, we asked that question of Sampson, who was a longtime executive with the Marlins, and he said that's what you do. You construct your bullpen however you can, and then in June or July you try to get the hot bullpen arms. And he gave the example of the Padres reliever that he thinks a month
Kirby
from
Yates.
Now will be dealt.
Kirby Yates.
That's what you do if you're a contending
but
team.
But it's probably going to be too late.
But for us, it's too late.
Yep.
Yeah.
11 games is too late. You're right.
I understand that. I just, like, Corbin has been a great signing, but for all that money, just think if we didn't sign Corbin, we could have gotten, you know, a decent third starter, maybe not Anibal Sanchez and Jeremy Hellickson to be your fourth and fifth, and then maybe just one decent bullpen arm. I don't know. I just think that. I don't know. I have no idea how we were picked to win 89 games.
Everyone picked them to win the division. Most people, anyway. I just think it's easy to say we could have done this, could have done that. They thought going into the first game of the season in April that it was going to be a legit contending team, and we were all wrong.
Most people thought.
Not everybody.
The Nats.
Not everybody.
Most people.
Yeah. I mean, most of the experts. You know, looked at all the preseason predictions.
Virtually everyone that we've had on the show, Sampson, who was an executive with the Marlins, who now works for CBS, he picked them to go to the World Series. Eddie Matz, I'm not sure if he picked them to go to the World Series, but we had him on yesterday. He works for ESPN.
Look, he had him winning the division.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a bunch of guys.
Yeah, it's just been a bad year. Nothing's going right.
I just don't think you could predict.
And even if it turns around, I think it's too late.
I just don't think that you could predict that so many guys would be having catastrophic years all at the same time. I mean, it's just kind of crazy.
And by the way, their offense isn't great either. I mean, let's think about it. Turner's not having a great year. Eaton's not having a great year. Rendon is. Soto's down. You know, Matt Adams and Zim are hurt. Or Matt Adams just came back last night. You know, their catchers aren't killing it. Dozier is still batting 200. Robles has been good at times, but he's batting 237. You know, Kendrick has been a bright spot. But
their
offense hasn't been that great.
And I don't know how Trey Turner does it with the nine fingers. You know, he's got pinky or the index finger.
I mean, there
finger,
are reasons. He's got an excuse.
Yeah.
Stellar for him.
Turner's on-base percentage is .318.
Yeah.
Remember, last year wasn't stellar for him. People were saying he was going to be a potential MVP candidate. He was fine, wasn't great.
Yeah, struck out a bunch.
All right, 800-636-1067, Soap and Line Thursday, your chance to steer the show. I still have some more entertainment page stories. We'll bang out your calls if you call in. The first one I'm going to talk about when we come back, Ice-T almost shot an Amazon delivery guy, and I think he has a good point. We'll talk about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan on an Open Line Thursday, 800-636-1067. I know you're going to get back to the entertainment page. Jordan's been on hold for a while. I don't know what he wants to chat about, but it
All
is
right.
Open Lines.
Let's go to Jordan in Sterling. Jordan, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
So I got two questions. My first question is, would you guys consider me a loser if I'm 28 years old and I'm still living with three roommates?
How old are you?
28.
Yes.
28.
Most likely, yes, depending on
why.
If you're like a graduate student, depending on some of the circumstances, I would say at 28, you probably should be living on your own. Or maybe
why?
One roommate.
Why?
That's just my personal opinion.
If he has savings and he's like,
what is your plan? Do you have a plan? Do you have a girlfriend? You could get married. Do you have a nice job? What's your plan?
I got a decent job, and I just broke up with my girlfriend, so I'm currently single. But it's a good question, Lurch. I don't know if I have like an exact plan right now. I'm just trying to move.
What do you do for a living?
My job right now.
What do you do for a living?
I just got a raise and promotion, so I'm doing okay there.
What do you do?
Career-wise, but
Jordan
doesn't listen.
You got to. Can't interrupt him. You can't interrupt him. Let him finish.
Jordan, what do you do for a living?
I work for a production company. We specialize in museum exhibits. So we do for example, we just opened up the new Spy Museum in Washington, D.C.
Got it. I got it. Okay, I got it. So you got like a real job.
Why don't you live on your own?
Because of money, honestly. I mean, it's so much cheaper to live with roommates. And we live in a pretty nice spot. We live in kind of near Trump National in a townhouse over there.
Right.
So it's a pretty nice spot, but it's just like I'm starting to, you know, lose it with my roommates. Like it's just, you know.
What are you guys?
I'm starting to think. What's that?
Are you saving a lot of money?
Yeah, I'm saving a lot of money. I'm doing some damage to my college debt. You know, I'm paying a lot of that off now. So
that's good.
You know, hey, maybe you're not a loser.
I don't think you're a loser. I think he's a loser.
Get out of debt. Get your own place. It might take you a year, but you're not going to live with those guys forever.
Well, it depends. How much do you owe still on your student loan?
$7,000.
Oh, that's nothing. You get rid of that. You could knock that out.
Yeah.
Now, if you're 30 and you're still living with those losers, then that's a different story. But I'll give
you. But it's better than living by yourself. I can't imagine being 30 and living by myself.
Yeah, but eventually he'll meet a girl.
We've clubbed AWOD for the same thing, though, living with a bunch of guys, living with the broskies.
I don't club him yet. He's 25. I don't club
26.
Him yet.
26.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Yeah. All right.
Jordan, I don't blame you because you're getting more bang for your buck in a townhouse as opposed to probably paying just as much, if not more, for 600 square feet.
And if they're your boys and you guys are hanging out and having a good time.
And everyone's responsible.
Yeah,
you know?
But the problem is he says his roommates are starting to bug him.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, it's like.
Yeah, I mean, they are my boys. I love them. But, you know, it's starting to get a little crazy in that house.
You just want some independence.
Yeah.
Are they all your age?
Yeah.
What are they killing you? Like the kitchen's a mess, that kind of thing?
Yeah. I got one roommate who's just, you know, he plops down, takes his shirt off, and throws his shoes everywhere, socks. There's crows in the kitchen. It's crazy.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know,
it's like
I'm
college
starting to
living.
Feel like it's time to get my own place.
Yeah. But Drabby,
if you can't swing in your own apartment because those are much more expensive, you should look into renting a basement in someone's house. And those have private entrances. You don't have to see anybody else a lot of times.
Then I would feel like a real
loser. Yeah, but it sounds like he does well enough. He could afford his own place. It's just not going to be at the trendiest spot.
I think you guys are kind of out of touch with how many people are
renting basements.
Renting basements.
No, I know.
Somebody
My
said
wife
if I'm
did
a
that
thir-
in college.
Yeah.
But who, somebody,
what do you guys just
I,
said? If
I always
I'm 30.
Felt, I thought that was kind of weird, honestly, but, you know, I could do that.
My wife did that in college. I'd rather just get my own condo someplace. You know, decent.
Jordan, the verdict is you're not a total loser. Maybe a
but
little
you're,
bit.
You're
of
heading
loser.
Down
you're,
that
you're,
path.
You're trending towards loserdom, but I don't
but
think
But what if
he's
he?
There.
What if he doesn't want a condo or an apartment? What do you mean?
What would he want instead?
I don't know. Maybe he wants a townhouse to himself,
townhouse.
Or he wants a house to himself.
Okay, then he's got to live out with Paulson out in Dumfries.
Yeah, well, you.
You know,
that is true,
expenses, it's expensive to live around here.
Where he lives over by Trump, over there in Sterling, it is pricey.
Yeah, so he sounds like he lives in a nice area.
Isn't there a hood in Sterling, though, that he could probably live in?
There is a couple of places he can go, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to get stabbed by MS-13.
I don't know. If I was single, I think I would rather live with my boys. But if I had a girlfriend, I think I'd rather have my own place. I think. I don't know, though. 20. Once you get to 30.
Once you get to 30, I mean, you got to be on your
own. He's 28.
Like, but he's got a real job. It's not like he's just like, you know, waiting tables or something.
I understand.
I don't know. It's tough. We're not in that situation, thank God. Wait, when I was 28, I was living with my mom.
Right.
Waiting for my house to be built.
Yeah, but that was different because you were engaged. A lot of people do that before they get married.
Yeah, I was still living with moms.
Yeah. I mean, but the guy that's coming close to it is Adam.
25?
Adam will be there in 2-3 years.
Was he 25?
Yeah.
26.
Well, here's the thing. As long as they're throwing down and having good house parties, I mean, he should keep going for another few years.
Right. But you understand that's like a loser mentality, right?
I think you're winning life if you're throwing epic house parties.
See, he's going to do this until he's like 40. You're never going to settle down, are you?
Probably not. Bottles of Ciroc all over the place.
Oh, my God.
Ciroc.
He's so cheesy.
He's so dumb.
Why do you have Ciroc? Any life goals besides, like professionally? Like, do you have any life goals beyond your work?
To smash 100 chicks, I mean.
Right, they're all shallow. In other words, you have no...
Like, what kind of goal would you expect from me?
I don't know, maybe someday settle down and have a family, that kind of thing?
That's like 36.
Become a homeowner.
He's not close to that way of thinking.
Yeah.
He's not.
That's fine. Actually, that's fine thinking. You probably shouldn't get married till you're 36.
Yeah. No, maybe he said it's like on the 36 priority.
No.
I thought he meant 36 years old.
I mean when I turn 36. That's when.
When you turn 36.
Yeah, until then, I just want to live the party life.
Right, I think that's fine for him. Good for you.
So many guys are chiming in.
I just don't see any future.
One guy says, what's wrong with 28 and roommates? Why is that a loser? He's got a master's degree, lived with his best friend and other buddies in Arlington.
We said he's not.
Yeah, not yet.
I think once you hit in your 30s.
I think once you hit 30, you got to be on your own.
Probably should be.
It just maybe feels one
like,
roommate.
It feels
one.
Like part of your path growing up, whether or not you're married or not, is getting your own place at some point. You may get your own place with your wife.
Right. Or girlfriend.
Well, what about this scenario? I have a friend who bought a townhouse with his brother, and both of them live there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're
that's
both
cool.
single.
Well, what's the plan there? Who's going to move out?
I don't know if there is a plan or not.
I'm sure they've talked about it.
I'm not
but
privy to it.
That's different than roommates.
When you have roommates and still like living in college.
Right, that's one roommate being homeowners. The caller was just roommates renting.
Yeah, but they were his boys. They were his boys.
It is expensive to live around here, though. If you're 28 and you're only making 50K or 60K, it's almost impossible. You got to have roommates. Or a wife or a girlfriend who's working.
Or you just got to live outside, you know, a cool area.
Or a second job.
I guess. Yeah. If you're making $50,000, give me a break. You could find an apartment somewhere and maybe it's the commute 30 minutes, but you're not going to be able to live in the trendiest neighborhoods. But come on, give me a break.
Nice apartment's going to cost you $2,000 a month, minimum.
Maybe. You don't have
and
to.
And that's
get,
just to rent it.
Yeah.
That doesn't include all the other bills.
I would probably just get some pooper for like $1,000.
Well, you're going to get a pooper.
Yeah.
Well, I can't find anything for
that. I don't think you can find.
Well, nothing around here. Nothing in a cool area. You have to live in some suburb somewhere.
Dude, suburbs cost that much too,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, the suburbs are more than that.
You just don't. You're not in the business of looking for apartments.
I'm not, but I'd find some place, PG County or something.
But. Everyone that lives in PG County is bitter right now.
Why? What?
My buddy just got divorced, right? And he moved into a condo or an apartment, whatever, in the suburbs, Ashburn, Virginia, $2,200 a month.
Yeah.
The two-bedroom place.
Where?
Nothing special.
What suburb?
It lives right near me.
Ashburn.
Yeah, it's nice out there.
But Ashburn's not close to D.C.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, it's nice. But every suburb in the area is going to be the same.
Right. I'm going to go on apartments.com and put my max price as $1,000 and see what comes up.
See what you get.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You get a tent.
Yeah, go ahead.
Live in a yurt. Save some bucks.
All right. I never did the Ice-T story. I want to do it quickly. Ice-T has a point here. He put it out there on social media, but he's making it all about him a little bit. But there is a point. He says there was a guy that was walking on his property.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't wearing any uniform or anything. And he said he almost shot the guy because he thought the guy was, he had no idea who it was. And it was an Amazon delivery guy. And I've noticed this before.
Aren't they supposed to wear a golf shirt or shirt?
I don't know. This guy wasn't wearing a uniform.
Mm.
And I think I've seen this before where it looks like just a regular guy is dropping a package off on your front door, and they're just going back out to their van. They're not in an Amazon truck even.
Yeah.
Right.
They're just in a regular car making deliveries. That's a flaw.
Yeah. I've heard that they've run out of vehicles, that they're borrowing other vehicles, like either regular vans or vans that say something different to drop these packages. I'm not sure what the protocol is there. I would think he would have to have some sort of a uniform on.
Let's go to Cindy in Springfield real quick. Cindy, what's up? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, Junks. Love you guys. I just want to tell you that I rented. There's some super nice basement apartments, and I rented one.
Yeah.
For quite a while, like own entrance, little kitchen, my own, you know, wash and dry. It was nice. And what ended up happening was the owner who lived upstairs ended up dying. Mm. And I ended up, to make a long story short, I ended up buying the house. So now me and my husband live upstairs. I was not married when we moved in there. And now we rent the downstairs.
Wow. How much do you rent the downstairs for?
Yeah. We rent it for generally about $1,000, and that covers everything.
Right.
So someone can have a nice basement apartment and have everything covered and have your own space.
Gotcha.
So I just want to give a thumbs up for basement apartments.
Isn't that how it started for Ernie?
Worked out for you.
He lived in the basement. Basically, or did he just kill it in the basement?
Come on, be respectful. Be respectful. How did that work out? Yeah, I mean, that was, yeah, I mean, no
he
one
had his own entrance.
No one owned the house. They were all renting together until finally he moved out and then my mother bought the house.
Ah, got
it. Did he have his own entrance? No, he came in through the front door.
My wife had a basement apartment when she was a grad student at University of Maryland, and it was kind of cool. It was her own little place, except that you're constantly, they had kids upstairs, and they're yelling at the kids. You hear the boom, 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 boom. You hear the dogs. They're kicking a ball around. Somebody's dribbling a basketball. I mean, there are downsides to it.
Not a panacea.
Yeah.
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. Open Line Thursday here on The Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.